Hello and welcome to today's edition of the Business Excellence Podcast. My name is Rael Bricker, coming to you from Perth, Western Australia. And with me is my co-host, Lindsay Adams from Brisbane in Australia.
Hello and welcome.
And with us today, we have a special guest, John Davis, who I will introduce more formally shortly. As a special gift to all our listeners, pop along to www.excellencepodcast.com. That's excellencepodcast.com and download your free 48-page ebook called Building Excellence, Ideas to Help You on Your Journey to Creating Excellence in Your Business and Your Life. Today's guest, hailing from the USA, is John Davis. Now, John's website simply says he's a stuntman, fight director, comedian, professor, artistic director, and executive. Welcome, John.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to be here, and I hope everything's going well down under.
So, John, I'm a bit amazed at your CV. I've worked in stunt shows, done film work, fight director, stuntman, martial arts, sword play, and executive. And you have a comedic element to this. So tell us, what is a comedy sword fighter?
Well, I started my stunt work career as Renaissance festivals, and I put together a comedy sword fighting show called Hack and Slash. And for your audience that doesn't know what a Renaissance festival is, that basically that means for many, many years I was wearing tights and living in the woods. try not to visualize. All right. So, but I put together this comedy sword fighting show that took me all over the world on 6 USO tours to the front lines of Iraq and Afghanistan, a total of 28 countries, and have done over 4,000 live sword fighting stunt shows with the Hack and Slash show.
Okay. And that was done obviously because of the Renaissance period and swords. And so it was period costume.
Yeah, oh yeah, we had full Elizabethan garb, and that, which is really funny because we went to Iraq and Afghanistan in full Elizabethan garb. So we our helicopter would land, and we would step out in tights and walk over to the soldiers and do a funny show and hop back on a helicopter and fly away.
That must have been pretty damn hot, I'm guessing, in full Elizabethan garb.
Well, you know, the heat was not nearly as scary as the idea of being stranded in Iraq wearing tights.
Indeed. Yes, that would make for an interesting interrogation, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, John, you've had a really interesting career. And you know, our podcast is about excellence, business excellence. So, was there a pivotal moment in your career that changed the way that you strive for excellence?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm glad you're using excellence instead of perfection, because perfection is a subjective term, and I don't believe there's a reality that there is one perfect. I think everybody has to find their own perfect.
Heartily agree on that one.
Yeah, so we strive for excellence. But what happened to me when I was 22 years old, I had already met two of the top fight directors in the world who were already training me for free in their programs. And I was very excited. I was getting strong, and I was buff, and I was lifting weights, and I was really feeling good, just starting new martial arts classes. And a buddy of mine called me up and said, "Hey, can you come over and help me unload a van full of clay?" He was a professional potter, and he had these boxes of clay that he had to get out of his van. And I went over and I picked up one of those 80-pound boxes of clay inside that van. And when I turned to set that box outside of the van, my upper body literally separated from my lower body. My spine split in two, and I collapsed. And they took me to the doctor, and the doctor says, "John, you've got a condition called spina bifida occulta." And I said, "Gesundheit." I had no idea what that was. Basically, I have three vertebrae that never formed properly. And when I did the twist that day with that extra 80 pounds, my upper spine literally clicked off and fell off and pinched off my spinal column. So I found myself paralyzed. And in the hospital, and the doctor told me flat out, "There's no way you're ever going to be a fight director. There's no way you're ever going to be a stuntman. Find a sedentary career right now." And while I was lying there, somebody gave me a book called The Tao of Jeet Kune Do by Bruce Lee. And I started reading about his philosophy of mental flexibility. And as I worked with his philosophies of mental flexibility, being like water specifically, I was able to start to leverage my present moment. And, you know, if you're striving for excellence, if you're really going for excellence, you have to realize that that successful outcome that you're searching for is not going to magically appear in your present moment. For me to get out of that bed, I had to make sure every small moment was successful. So by creating excellent, successful present moments, I was able to bring my successful outcome to me in my present moment experience. And that's the thing where I think most people trip up when they're striving for excellence, is they look at where they want to be and they think of it as a struggle to get to it, when in reality, that's not the way the brain works. The way the brain works is that you make successful moments here, and as they stack on top of each other, it comes to you and surrounds you. So it's the small moments, and that's what got me out of the bed. And that was my pivotal moment. That was the thing that bled out into everything else I ever did. That list of jobs that I had earlier that you just read, all of them are because of that moment. Because at that point, I knew I could do anything, and I moved forward and went ahead and did them.
I love that, John. Make every small moment excellent. That's the quote of the interview so far. I think we'll just stop now.
On our website for this podcast, we actually say that perfection is impossible, and therefore. All we want people to be is excellent, which is the best they can ever be in their lives. And so, it's wonderful to hear you say that unsolicited, because that's exactly what we've been working on for, you know, the first 70 or 80 episodes of the podcast now. Okay. The second idea, I guess, is you spent time in Iraq, and to me, that's quite amazing, because you went out there just to entertain them with the USO. And interestingly, I, coming from Australia, didn't actually understand, you know, you see movies of the Second World War and Vietnam, where, you know, the USO went out to entertain the troops. But is that still, you know, obviously with world conflict today, is that still very much real, that people are, you know, the USO is still very, very active in entertaining the troops?
Absolutely. There's the USO, and then there's also another organization called Armed Forces Entertainment. And basically, the USO funds Armed Forces Entertainment. But the USO is like the big stars, like Robin Williams and all those guys when they went over. And then through the USO funds Armed Forces Entertainment, which is what I was going under. So I was technically a USO performer, but I was working through Armed Forces Entertainment. And yeah, when we were going into Iraq and Afghanistan, we were flying out to the most forward operating bases. I remember it was an Easter Sunday. We were told at that point, no one should go to the Anbar province. And we took two helicopters and flew to every Marine base in the Anbar province in that time and did shows all day long. And it's really fascinating, because we were able to load us into two helicopters, our equipment in the front helicopter and us in the back helicopter, and we would land, and that's what they liked about us. We were a small packing group. So we would land, hop out, do a quick show, hop in a helicopter, fly somewhere else. And what was most valuable about that was a lot of those guys sit out there in the middle of the desert, and every day is the same. It's like, they call it Groundhog's Day, like that movie, Groundhog's Day. And they sit out there, and it's Groundhog's Day, but every day somebody wants to kill you, you know, so they're really stressed out. And I had a soldier walk up to me after a show in Ramadi, when he says, John, he says, this morning I was in a firefight for like 3 hours. And this afternoon for 2 hours, I was able to forget all about that. Thank you so much for coming. It really meant something. You know, the idea of being able to be the release valve for that stress, I would go again right now if they needed me to go anywhere. Because it was so fulfilling to go out there and be there in support of them. You know, no matter what you think of the wars in general, you know, those people who were out there volunteered, because America is an all volunteer army. So they volunteered to go anywhere in the world to protect us. And so whether you like where they are or not, doesn't really matter. The fact that they volunteered to go out there, it makes them action heroes in my mind. And so the least I can do is go out and support them.
Yeah. I suppose you'd call them everyday heroes, and they're often unsung heroes, aren't they? I mean, just average guys and girls doing their job to protect your country. I mean, you've done a lot of work in films and movies and so on. And so on that hero theme, you know, we there's action heroes and superheroes. What's the difference as far as you're concerned between an action hero and a superhero?
So an action hero, the word action means to create motion, start momentum, or to do something. And the word hero means someone who achieves an extraordinary result in service of others. And so basically an action hero is an ordinary individual who creates an extraordinary result in service of others. A superhero is someone who wears their underwear on the outside of their pants, was irradiated by some sort of goo, and has superpowers. That's the main difference.
I mean, I don't know if you follow Dilbert, the cartoon series, but I get a subscription and I get an email every day with a different cartoon, and it's a great take on the corporate world. And a number of years ago, I think it was after one of the nuclear accidents in Russia, potentially, there was a series of cartoons of all these guys in their underwear standing outside the nuclear plant waiting for an explosion to give them superpowers.
And that's isn't that the benefit of Zoom? No one can tell where we're wearing our underwear right now. They don't know if we're super or action hero.
And let's keep it that way, okay?
All right. Once again, don't visualize.
but on that, I mean, you say there about being an action hero and an average person doing stuff. I mean, when we, you spent a lot of time in the movie industry, okay? Mm-hmm. And you really have, the action heroes who went blank for a second, who really are the key, they do stuff that's pretty ordinary, but save the world. That's the genre, okay. And is that the kind? And you said you were doing a lot of stunt work. So were you doing a lot of stunt double work for these guys and that sort of stuff?
I have done stunt double work. I am mainly a technical fight guy. I go in and train actors a lot most of the time because my expertise is in weaponry and stuff. I have done high falls. I've done firework. I've done all that kind of thing. I actually had one phone call. A director asked me to come out to Nebraska, and he said he needed somebody who looked like me, who could run the bases of a baseball diamond and tackle the umpire. I said, I'm in. That's good. Right? Just for a comedy show, right? So I get those kind of calls all the time just because of my look. But, it's interesting. You talk about action heroes and then the stunt industry. The stunt men and women, they risk their lives on a daily basis for our entertainment. And it was really interesting talking to them and also talking to the soldiers and listening to how they got stuff done. And it was, like I said earlier, about that present moment experience. Each one of them said the first thing they had to do was set their fears aside when they were going into something stressful. So they all learned. They both learned that if they just exhaled, then they can relax all their muscles. They shut off the fight or flight response, and they go on. So the second thing they do is they then look at what they're trying to achieve. The soldiers looked at the objective. The guy standing on top of a 3-story tower, and I can tell you this from experience, is not looking at the tower. He's looking at where he's going to land, right? He wants to go down there and land in the right spot, right? So they're both on an objective. They have a focus. So I have a system called the 5 F's. And the first one is fearlessness. The second one is focus. And the third one is faith, belief, confidence in the outcome, the thing that you're going to do. So both of these guys, the stuntman and the soldiers, all had to have those three things in place before they could do the next one, which was follow through, literally stepping up and doing something. You have your fearlessly focused with faith, and then you have to follow through to get anything done. And the last one is flexibility of the 5 F's. And flexibility is what I learned when I was in that hospital bed. The idea of I had to realize that when something came up that seemed contrary to what I was trying to achieve, when I was starting my business, I had the same sort of thing. One of the things that I had because of my background in stunt work and comedy shows and all, and now I was going to go into the corporate speaking world. How do I go from the guy who wears tights to the guy who now talks to corporate people, right? They're not going to take you seriously, right? And I realized after the third speech that I should stop wearing the tights.
we're leaving that one right alone, okay?
But the thing was, I had to get over my own fear, and I had to go through my own process of releasing my fears that I could achieve it. What I found out, interestingly enough, is my background was the thing that got me work, because there's a lot of speakers in the world, and there's very few who can say they're a stuntman, fight director, and all those things that are listed. You know, there's very few can say that. And then, of course, with the comedic background, you know, the one of the big lines they say in speaking is, if you want to be a successful speaker, make sure you make them laugh. Because it's part of the rules of the game. You have to make them laugh.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's that old line? You know, do I have to be funny in my talk? Only if you want to get booked again. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, John, I really love your five F's: fearless, focus, faith, follow through, flexibility. Humor me here. I wonder, I'm thinking follow through is where a lot of people are going to fall down. You know, absolutely. The actual execution. Would you agree?
I completely agree. And the interesting thing about that is the reason they fall down is because they're stuck on number one. They're back in their fears again. Uh-huh. So, you know, if you're not taking an action, it's because you have a fear. And the thing is that we all have the primal flight or flight response. Every one of us has a fear response. And that fear response, we are primarily trained that if something scary happens, we gasp for air, right? And most people think they can't breathe when they're scared. And it's not that they can't breathe. It's that their body is conserving air so they can run further and faster. So actors on Broadway are trained, if they forget their lines, to go and exhale. And all their lines rush back into their head because now their brain isn't trying to get air. You know, they're back into the mindset, and all the words come back. It's the same thing. If you get into the position where you're not taking an action, you have to ask yourself, well, what is the fear? Relax. And then just start something. Just take an action. Yeah. That was the best thing my brother-in-law ever said to me. He said, just get started. You know, doesn't have to be profound, but that worked. You know, just get started. And then, of course,
one lines matter. I like that one too. Just get started.
Just get started.
There's so much similarity between our philosophies on life, although I haven't dived off three-story buildings. But the back of my book called Dive In says on it one line, it says, take a breath, dive in, and adjust your course while you're moving.
Right. Exactly. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Now, here's the interesting thing. The flexibility thing is when something comes up that seems contrary to what we're going to achieve, that's another trigger for fear. So they go, oh, my gosh, I'm stopped. And what I had to do is I had to shift, especially getting out of the bed with my back injury. For me to get out of that bed, I had to realize that when something came up that seemed contrary to it, that I had to change my perspective, that thing that came up because I set a goal, and this was just something that needed to be addressed to get to my goal rather than something that was going to stop me permanently. So it was just this thing that came up that seemed contrary was just part of the process. And as long as I kept my mind clicked in on the final outcome, then anything that came up that seemed hard or difficult or that could potentially stop me couldn't stop me at that point, because I was being flexible like water, as Bruce would say, and I was just working with what was there. I never took my eye off the final target.
So, John, I'm curious, and we're a little segue, how did they fix your back? Have you got a cage there, or what did they do?
I'm so glad you asked that question. They wanted to put pins in my back to hold it together, and I refused them to do that. Because I set a goal, and this is one of the revelation moments I had in that bed was that I was going to be a stuntman, no matter what that doctor said. And when he told me they're going to put pins in my back, that would mean that the mid portion of my back would have been totally rigid. And if I'd have done a high fall, it would have broken my back. If I'd have done a roll, it would have broken my back. And so instead of what I did was I immediately started working with a chiropractor who started making sure the spine was manipulated in place, started doing yoga, and I started doing exercises to strengthen my back. Now, when I first started moving, that was the hardest part. I was literally paralyzed. You know, the chiropractor would come in and they would literally roll me over. My arms would work, but my lower body wasn't working at all. They would roll me over and they would literally manipulate my back, the most painful thing I've ever been through. And then they would get me to just start to move things, move my feet, move my legs, and every little moment at a time. It was months and months and months of rehab. And finally, I was standing and walking. And then it got to the point where it was like, okay, now I'm walking. Now I'm going to start lifting weights, because I'm not just going to be a guy who can walk. I'm going to be a guy who can run. And I started really, really working out my muscles and getting my strength back. So I literally, the mindset of success will take you further than anything. And if you can keep your mind in play, you can change the way your body will react. I still have the condition of spina bifida occulta. But after I got out of that bed is when I did those 4,000 live comedy sword fighting stunt shows.
So you talk about fear. Well, a good friend of mine talks about that you don't have to overcome fear. You actually have to embrace fear, because that'll take you further than trying to strive to overcome it. What's your take on that?
I completely disagree with your friend. Okay. And I'll tell you why. I don't know if you expected that answer.
No.
Fear. When I ask my audiences what fear is, the audiences go silent, and then somebody in the back of the room will say, "False evidence appearing real." Right. And because that's the standard pat line. But when you break down fear scientifically, fear is an emotional reaction to some future event that may or may not happen, with your focus on it being a negative outcome. It's just negatively focused uncertainty. And the thing is, if something's happening in your life that you're fearful of, you have to realize that the fear is not rooted in your present moment. It's rooted in that future event that may or may not happen. And so it's uncertain. And so rather than getting into embracing it, and taking your present moment and wasting it on focusing on fear, just let the fear, set the fears aside and focus on the outcome. That's how I got out of the bed. And that's how I was able to do all the things I did in my life, was by not embracing fear, because I just disregarded fear. And when I talked to the soldiers and the stuntmen, they said the same thing. They had to set their fear aside. And the way you do it is breaking that primal response that we have to. It's just a natural fear response we have.
Okay. I mean, that's an interesting take. I mean, his take, and I understood it from when I learned to ski in Canada, and you stand on the second day you're skiing, and you're standing on the top of a black slope going, "What's the worst thing that can happen to me?" Well, nothing, you know. And I've tumbled down those slopes before. But after your first fall, you're going, "Yeah, that was okay. Let's just get up and do it again." And so that fear of a negative reaction disappears. The adrenaline is there. And that, I think that's what we mistake sometimes, fear and adrenaline.
No, I agree. I think adrenaline is a product of fear. I think that, and I think that when you go out there and you strive for something amazing and you put yourself into a situation, I mean, I can't tell you how many times that I've had broadswords swinging by my head and rapiers sticking in my chin and, you know, crazy things like that. But, I was never afraid to go into those sword fights with those actors and do those things. You know, it was all choreographed stuff, but accidents happen. So I've been, those comedy sword fighting shows I did, my partner and I, literally, for all those 4,000 shows, we did 3 fights per show. And so you're talking 4,000 shows, you're talking,
12,000 fights,
sword fights. So, and in all those times, if I was afraid, that was another thing, is we had those pieces of choreography down. If we got to the moment where we were about to start one of those fights, at that moment, if we just said, "Oh my God, do I have the choreography?" and dropped into a fear state, we would have messed up the choreography. What we both did when we got to that moment was we would get down, get ready to do the sword fight, and we would go and completely blank our minds and just stay completely and firmly present. And by staying firmly present, we would just nail those fights every time.
So John, one of the things you have done is give back. Mm. How important is giving back to our whole search for excellence in our lives?
Well, I live my life as an action hero, and like I said before, that means that I do something to achieve excellence for others. And so for me, it's been very important that I give back, and I've been very fortunate in my life to have a platform to be able to do that. I've done Habitat for Humanity homes. I've raised tens of thousands of dollars for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, sent 2 kids to Disney, 16 global water projects. I'm trying to remember all the numbers. There's so many of them. And we created the largest charity event in the Baltimore region that played for years, the Hack & Slash Christmas special. And then, of course, with the USO and with the American Cancer Society. I think to me, if I'm going to live that action hero lifestyle, it can't just be a stage presence name. I have to live the lifestyle. And so when I recently was speaking to, I was at my dry cleaners picking up my suits, and the the young lady behind the counter asked for my email address, and I handed her my business card. And she says, "Oh my God, you're a speaker. I want to be a speaker too." And so as an action hero, my job at that point was to support her however I could. And so I spent about a half an hour just sitting here, helping her, telling her how to do things and getting things all set up. And then that woman ran out and got a TEDx talk, her first speech. I was like, "You evil woman, you." but it goes back, because the next thing that happened was they liked her so much at TEDx. She's now part of the board of the local TEDx here. And now she wants me to come on and do a TEDx next year.
Excellent.
So, I mean, so what you give, you do get back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, John, I've got one eye on the clock and we're nearly done with our time. I want to ask you one final question. If you were to start over again today, what would you do to reach where you are now? I mean, would you do it differently? Would you do it the same? What do you reckon?
I would do a lot of things differently. But if I didn't have my back situation the way it was, I would have had a very different life. But if I was going to start over today, the first thing I would do is I would get very firmly present in mind. You know, we all have our past experiences that have told us what we can and can't do, and there are people in our past who've limited their belief about us. I would set that down, and I would get into the mindset of, I am an achiever, because the mindset will take you as far as you can go. And so you have to sit there in this moment and say, I'm an achiever, and live that experience and breathe into that experience. Realize you can achieve anything, and I am proof of it. I have done a lot of things in my life, and every one of them was done by one present successful moment at a time.
Excellent. Excellent. So, John, I'm guessing by now our listeners are thinking, man, this guy's good. I got to get in touch with him. If our listeners wanted to get in touch with you or find out more about you, how would they do that?
Very easy. You go to corporateactionhero.com, and my LinkedIn and all is there as well. And on that page, there's also a daily vlog. I put up one daily video every day. That's what daily means, obviously.
A daily video every day. There's a concept.
Yeah. Imagine that. It would be redundant. Anyway. So I put up a daily video every day, so you guys get daily motivation. I also do a podcast that's there. You can check out that as well. And should I tell your audience about this free gift that I'm going to send their way?
A free gift?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So the 5F workbook, that is the workbook. Now, before I tell you about the free gift, let me tell you about the word free. The word free means I get nothing, which means this link, you go there, you don't have to give me an email address. You don't have to give me anything, because this is a free gift, and it would be against my own word to say free and not give it to you for free. The only thing I'll ask is that if you're on my site anyway, just look around. And if you like what you see, let me know. That's all I ask. But it's a free gift. What it is, it's a 5F workbook. It takes you through your own process of achievement. It shows you how to go fearlessly, focus with faith, follow through with flexibility, and come out the other side successful and living the life of an action hero instead of a reaction zero.
That's fantastic, John, and thank you very much. I will put the link to that in the show notes that will go out. And with this episode, the link to Corporate Action Hero free gift page will be on the show notes. And as a reminder to everyone who's been enjoying this episode of the podcast, please go to excellencepodcast.com, and there are lots of other free resources that you can download in your passion and in your drive for excellence going into the future. So thank you again today to John Davis, our action hero, corporate action hero, as our guest today. And thank you to my co-host, Lindsay Adams. This is Rail Bricker signing off for this edition of the Business Excellence Podcast. Thank you all.